friend, and welcome to the Ayurveda and Psychology podcast. I am Charlotte Skogsberg, your host for this podcast. I am enchanted to meet and to take you with me on this journey into the human psyche, viewed from the holistic approach of yoga and Ayurveda, and viewed from the modern man approach of clinical psychology and psychoanalysis. So have something nice to drink next to you, maybe a cup of tea, have a seat, or go out for a nice walk in nature, maybe. Enjoy. In this episode that focuses on Ayurveda, I want to continue on our series of talks around eating habits and, well, our emotional eating. And even though on the psychology episodes, I'll go more into the emotional part of it, it is interesting to look at it from the Ayurvedic perspective. First of all, just in terms of biology, let's say, but then also the tendencies of the doshas. So I'll speak a little bit about that today. My apologies for interrupting the episode for just 1 minute. I want to let you know that even though the enrollment is now closed for Nourish, Balance, Thrive for this round, it is always open for the coming ones. So you can be on the wait list by simply sending me an email or contacting me on Instagram. You find all the details in the show notes of this episode. You can always at any time also get in touch with me for questions, and more so for working with me privately, one-on-one sessions, whether this is on a therapeutic level from the clinical psychology perspective or from the Ayurvedic perspective as well. Now back to the episode.
Now, during metabolism, the body transforms food and drink into energy. And that transformation happens as the calories from the food and the drinks are mixed with oxygen. And what we need, your specific body, what it needs in terms of calories in order to maintain just the functions of the body at a resting point, is your set point for your metabolism, or what we can call as well your basal metabolic rate. So if we would function perfectly natural, we would always be taking in the amount of calories that's needed, and whenever we would increase our body's need of calories, we would therefore increase the need of hunger and the metabolic rate, and we would take in more as well. And of course, when I say we would increase the body's functions or its rhythm, what I mean by that is when we're physically active. So we would naturally say that the more you are active, the more hunger you would feel, because your body would claim more calories. And the less that you are active, or maybe even when you're so passive that you're less than just in your normal resting mode, your body would claim even less calories and you would eat less. What that looks like is basically, in order to just maintain normal activity in resting rate, you would need X amount. And then if you would start exercising, let's say, for instance, or just moving around more, this would increase your need for calories. You would therefore increase it. Or if you would, for whatever reason, be completely passive for a certain amount of time, then you would need less, and therefore you would take in less. And that is not the case very often. So, for instance, let's take just the fact of being less active than what your metabolism requires, being too sedentary, we would imagine that, yes, indeed, that would make us take in less. But actually, one of the things that we've noticed is that we do not take in less, and we might even take in more. I don't think I need to illustrate this too much in order for you to see what I mean, but let's just see what happened during the pandemic when people were in lockdown and therefore much more passive. A lot of people actually put on weight instead. Now, why did they put on weight? It wasn't so much a question about being more passive, but the fact that they didn't adjust their calorie intake as they were being passive. Actually, a lot of people tend to take in even more than what they need when they're being very passive. If we would look at it on the opposite side of the spectrum, so this, as we increase our physical activity, we also need to increase our calorie intake for the body to feel that it's getting enough calories to function. But then we look at some of these people who are experiencing issues with weight loss, right? So we look at people who are trying to lose weight and who seem to do all the right things, which means that they are exercising and they're being very careful in their calorie intake. Yet they are not losing weight. So then we can see that there's something going on with their metabolic rate there as well. What has happened in that situation is that the body has understood that there's an increase need of calories due to the increased activity, but that the intake is not increasing. On the contrary, it is maybe even decreasing. And so if there's an increase of activity and a decrease of calorie intake, the metabolic rate actually goes down. Why does it go down? Well, because we go actually on, let's say, saving energy mode. The body is reading this as starvation. We can see that as long as we don't just go with what is the very natural way for the body to function in terms of taking in energy through calories, transforming that, and then using it, that's when our metabolism goes out of whack, so to speak. And so there's the time where our eating patterns are not normal. What does that mean? When we are, for instance, constantly dieting or restricting ourselves, or when we are overeating, so that the digestion actually is struggling to transform the calories into energy. And there is also when what we put inside of us is not actually nutritious enough. We'll go more into that one in a second. And when there's a lack of water. So hydration for our whole system is essential for the system to function, for all the organs, for everything, but also very much simply for the stomach to be able to process the food. The saliva with the enzymes in it are breaking down the food. And if there's dehydration going on, which means that there's a lack of liquid, then that will decrease our capacity to metabolize as well. And then finally, there's, of course, the simple fact that if we are not helping our metabolism at all by increasing the fire element inside of us through movement, so basically a complete lack of exercising, we are also decreasing our metabolic rate. So when we begin to look into a little bit what people do and how we live our lives, we see that these activities are pretty common. So there's people who just don't move, right? There's a lot of that going on, unfortunately, in the world. There's people who move too much and don't rest enough. There's a lot of that going on as well. There's all these strange behaviors of not simply giving the food to the body, and so trying to control the intake of the food. Now, there's this side as well then of the lack of nutritious food. One of those aspects, of course, is something that's pretty obvious, I think, to many of us, and that's what they've come to call the standard American diet or standard Western diet, which is basically filled with processed food, right? So from the time when processed food began and on, there's been a pandemic, of course, of ruined metabolism due to the fact that people just got used to eating things that completely lack of nutrition. And the reason that they do so is very often a financial reason, because of course, how to make food cheap? Well, it's to make it out of things that don't cost much. So, like anything else, when you have two things that seemingly are the same, but that the price are very different, it tends to be because one of them was more expensive to make than the other, so that the person who sells it still makes a profit. And so if we look at all the fast foods, and even if we don't even look at the fast food, but just what you buy in the stores, all the things that are cheaper are the things that are naturally then obviously cheaper to produce as well. And if they're cheaper to produce, it is because it is not being used, they haven't used quality components to make. So that whole thing of why there's so much junk food in the world really comes very much from this, it's cheaper, right? And that's also why we therefore then would see that there's certain demographics that would more suffer from this than others, where the social economical situation is lower. So if people don't know that it's bad for you because they don't have that information, they haven't been educated on it, and it's just cheaper, and then they put all those things in that food to make you addicted to it, of course that's a win-win situation. When I say win-win, in the sense that those who produce it, they make money from it, and those who consume it, well, seemingly it's like a cheap meal, right? And since they don't have that much money and they don't know, then it is a win-win. Of course, it's not. But actually, the lack of nutritious food is not only the junk food situation, because that's an obvious one for many. It is also the fact that if we look at what our stomach needs in order to be able to function properly in terms of digestion, researchers, scientists, doctors who work in the field of microbiome, right, who study this and work on that, are quite aligned, all of them, with the fact that if there's one thing we definitely need in order for our microbiome to be healthy, so our digestive system, it is fiber. Plant fiber is necessary for our metabolism. And there's a huge lack of fiber in the food that we eat today, because fiber cannot be found in animal products and it cannot be found in processed foods. We find fiber in vegetables and fruits and legumes. They're great sources of fiber, and those are not being promoted. So there's a lot of people who can be seem to do all the good things, yet their metabolism isn't great and they're not losing weight, for instance, if that's what they're trying to do. And one of the big components might be the lack of nutrients in their food, because they're not getting almost any fiber. Especially if we then look into the trends of eating only animal products, for instance, only eating meat and fat. That which used to be called the Atkins diet and then was called now, I guess, carnivore. And actually, the whole keto thing as well is very much that way. Now, the keto diet does not need to be that way because you can choose actually what you're eating, of course. But Atkins and the carnivore, for sure, it's this idea of eat a steak and fat, and that's good for you. And yes, people who have had issues with digestive problems, with bloating and gas and whatever it might be, when they start doing that, all of that disappears, indeed. But it's not because you're healing it. It's because you're restricting yourself. You're avoiding what you need. See, here's the crux, the difficulty with fiber is that you need fiber in order to have a healthy metabolism, but fiber is really difficult for the stomach as well to digest. It's hard to digest. So one of the things that people tend to forget about, no, that's not the right expression, not know about, is that when you are experiencing digestive issues, it is not so much the food that you put in you that is bad for you in some way, but what it is instead is that your digestion is so weak that you can't process it. So you can choose to restrict everything from your diet and just eat the things that are the easiest possible to digest. You haven't healed anything. You've just made your microbiome even more poor. And that comes back to something that I've discussed before on when they then look into the populations of the world that are doing the best, that are living the longest, and that seem to have the least disease, especially of the modern diseases. It's the blue zones, right? And what they do is that they don't actually exclude anything. So there's no reason that your metabolism can't digest certain things. If that happens, there's something with your metabolism that isn't correct. Now, if it's something that's actually not nutritious, it's another story. So reacting, of course, to very processed foods or extremely high levels of white sugar and things like that happens as well, of course, because it's actually not nutritious. Reacting to fiber and legumes is not because there's something wrong with fiber and beans and peas and lentils. It is because your digestion is weak. So then you need to strengthen your digestion instead. So we mess up our metabolism by simply having these unnatural habits. And when we then look into Ayurveda and Vata, Pitta and Kapha, what I find really interesting is that the tendencies of the doshas will play into this destroyed metabolism. So what we can see, and I'm generalizing a lot, but we can see that depending on the tendency of each and one of the doshas, the one that is dominant in you would therefore maybe be your tendency in how you might ruin your metabolism. Now, sometimes, just to simplify, I like to use one word that would be a way to kind of label or define each and one of the doshas in terms of what the tendencies of their patterns are. And so for Vata, for instance, since this is air and space together and therefore taking on the characteristics of wind, we could say that if I want to use one word that really labels it, it would be irregular or irregularity. And therefore, how could this irregular thing with Vata play in a destroyed metabolism? Well, through constant snacking and completely irregular meal times. What I would say could be a tendency in a person who is of Vata dominance is the irregular way of being that makes this person feel ungrounded. So there's a lack of anchor, which would increase the, let's say, energetic activity high up, so up in the head, so the mental activity, will be a little bit translated into this feeling of being a bit spaced out. So not actually being very present, not being very focused, not being calm and settled. And what does a person do who's like that? Well, they do things quite mindlessly. So that means seeking grounding maybe through trying this and that and the other and going back and forth between things, being anxious and worried about why I'm in this state where I'm just not feeling grounded and calm. Have you ever noticed yourself or anyone else completely mindlessly snacking on things as a way to soothe yourself? That is, from my perspective, a rather typical Vata tendency. And it can be absolutely both reaching for sweet or savory. Now, I do think that the sweet stuff is pretty common because of this seeking of the dopamine kick, I guess, that sugar can bring us. And then it's, of course, detrimental because of all of high levels of sugar in the blood does to our system. But it can also be the reaching for savory things. It can also be, therefore, snacking on raw stuff, which will have another difficulty coming along with it because those are quite hard to digest. And then that creates this like constant feeling of bloating and constipation, which will also aggravate, of course, Vata even more, and then bringing the person even further into their Vata imbalance. Pitta people, people with a dominance of the Pitta dosha, and if they are therefore would have tendencies in the Pitta direction, let's say that if there's something that characterizes Pitta, it's the heat of fire, and fire has its characteristics of being transformational, right? It's transformation. So if I would use one word kind of to label Pitta and that tendency, and I want to use transformation for that, how can we see that being an issue for metabolism? Well, to do like they say in Hollywood, cut to the chase, overeating, basically. Overeating, eating fast and too much without reading the signals will mess up your digestion. If we eat too much in one go, our digestive system will have problems with digesting the food. And what that does is that it creates this feeling of discomfort where we notice that we've eaten too much, right? And then that can have several effects. But one of them, which will happen for Pitta people, is that the food will go unprocessed out of the system, which can, for instance, create diarrhea or just simply loose stool. Diarrhea, loose stool, is food that has not been absorbed, like the nutrients haven't been absorbed properly and goes too fast out, which can happen in, like, the root cause for the loose stool might be different things. It's not always, of course, the overeating, but that is one of the possibilities, which can be a possibility that comes in the Pitta tendency. I hope I'm making sense with this. It's not always that the reason, yeah? So if we are overeating, creating a difficulty for the digestive system to metabolize, and then therefore pushing it out without absorbing the nutrients, it doesn't matter how nutritious the food is. If you're not capable of absorbing the nutrients, it could have been a fast food chain hamburger as well. So see how that plays into how you ruin your metabolism as well? And then for the kapha, okay, so kapha being the building block of everything, right? The muddiness of kapha. What is the one word maybe that we could use, well, accumulation. Kapha accumulate. Or we can also then use the word stagnate. So stagnation being definitely a characteristic of kapha. If there's a lack of movement, if there's stagnation, there is absence of transformative capacity. And then we accumulate instead the food that is being put into the stomach. But the fire is so weak, so slow, that it doesn't have the time to digest what's being put in there. And even an amount that might seem small can be too much if there's complete stagnation in the system.
I am so grateful that you have chosen to give me some time of your day to listen to this episode. Now, this is all done on my free time. There's no money involved in this podcast. So if you would like to support me somehow, I would love for that to happen. And you could do that by simply rating and reviewing. So what that means is that if you're listening on Apple Podcast, you can simply give me 5 stars review and you can give me a commentary. Obviously, if you feel that it deserves it. Once again, thank you so much and enjoy the listening.
To sum up what I've been speaking about today and why I've been speaking about it is, from the Ayurvedic perspective, we understand that your metabolic capacity, your basal metabolic rate, is the set point that you have as you are born, and that is definitely linked to the ratio of the doshas inside of you. And it doesn't even matter at all which dosha is dominant at this point. As long as you live with what's natural in terms of intake of energy, transforming this into an energy that's being used, so intake of calories, I should say, instead, and then transforming that into energy and being used. As long as that happens in a natural way, everything is fine. But if we look into how we live in the world today, we see how many people, a lot of people, don't have a natural way of doing this. And so when we look into the different activities or the different components into a ruined metabolism, we see how this happens. And by understanding a little bit your own tendency, what you would tend to do, depending on who you are, your personality, so your constitution, which dosha is dominant in you, you can then note down, okay, this would be more my tendency in how I move away from balance, move away from the natural way of eating and using that energy, and hopefully therefore be able to come back to balance. Just through this self-knowledge tool of reading your own tendencies.
Thank you so much for choosing to listen to this podcast and this episode. I am very grateful. If you enjoyed this and you think that other people could enjoy this, please help me to spread the word. Share this episode on any channel that you have of social media or messaging. And even more so, I would really appreciate if you know one other person who might benefit from my words today specifically. Take that 1 minute it takes to simply share this episode with one person. Remember that there's a human being on the other side of your phone, of your earpods, of this microphone. And I would love to hear your thoughts on what I've been talking about. So please leave a comment. Send me a message directly if you wish. This is Charlotte. This is me. See you next time. Namaste.